Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Dr. Psych Mom Show. Today I have a treat where I'm going to be talking about this comment that I got. And so let me find it so I can read it to you. Okay, I took a screenshot so that I could read it to you. So I did my freeze tag analogy, a video about my freeze tag analogy. And of course, I've done a podcast on my freeze tag analogy. And basically, my freeze tag analogy is when guys say that the woman has to be like sleeping with somebody else because she doesn't want sex with them. That's crazy. Like, very few women cheat, as I've discussed. And if a woman is low libido, she just does not think about sex. You know, I mean, barely any woman during the workday thinks about sex unless she's in a new relationship, she's on hormones, or she's ovulating. You know, otherwise, you're just getting through your damn workday. It's stressful enough. Maybe you're getting emails from your kids' teachers, shit you have to do. You're thinking about all the stuff you got to do when you get home. You're managing everything. If you are at home, then you're thinking about the children themselves and the house and all of that sort of thing. So yes, if you're higher libido, you may think about it a little bit more, but then your husband isn't going to be complaining on the internet, right? About sex, at least. They may be complaining about other stuff, but they're not going to be thinking about it during the day. So I equated this very briefly, because I have a whole podcast on this, to if your child thought that if you didn't want to play freeze tag when you got home from your workday, it had to be because you were playing freeze tag with other children during the day at work, secretly. And that's the only reason why you wouldn't want to play freeze tag. No, it's because you don't want to play freeze tag. You don't think about it. You're an adult. You have other stuff to think about. You never think about freeze tag ever. So that's why. So I was doing this in order to basically show why it is that it is so ridiculous that a man would assume that his wife is cheating with somebody else, e.g. playing freeze tag with another kid during the day, because she doesn't want to have sex with him. And then, of course, you know, nuance is lost on the internet. And, you know, I mean, if there's one thing that could make a sex-positive woman, a woman who has really devoted a lot of her life to trying to help couples understand each other, including in the bedroom, not like to talk about sex, it's trying to interact with people on the internet. But that just makes it like terrible, like altogether. So anyway, let me tell you this analogy, because a lot of guys try to use this analogy. And keep in mind, of course, a lot of guys thought that I was saying that you shouldn't play freeze tag at all, that the partner shouldn't have sex at all, just like the grown-up should be allowed to not play freeze tag at all. And maybe they missed like every single thing I've ever done and recorded and written about how women should try to have more sex and responsive desire, and sex is so important to men, and this is how they bond, and this is how they connect, and like literally everything that I write. But anyway, so he tried to give me an analogy, and the analogy failed. And so I will talk, I will read to you the analogy right now. So he says, Dr. Psych Mom, a more appropriate comparison would be that you decided to open a counseling practice with a psychologist because you both meshed well together and both were compatible as counselors. I love when guys try to make it into something that you would understand, you know, like as though that's like, you know, he's really helping me out. Wow, like we're really talking about something that I would get. I can't understand a lot, but maybe if he shoves it right into my wheelhouse, then maybe I can get it, right? But shortly after signing agreement with them that also involved government stipulations, they unilaterally decided that they were no longer interested in the counseling practice, but they felt they deserved all the benefits of being a practitioner. But here's the biggest rub of all. By bringing the government into the picture, they agree in principle they have no obligation toward the practice, and no longer being interested isn't grounds for you abandoning the agreed upon terms as long as the contract remained in place, which could carry stiff penalties. Oh, if you decide to break the contract, they're entitled to half the value of the practice since the contract was signed. A childhood game doesn't really compare to the contractual obligations of most marriages, although it could be argued that women largely understand the evolutionary aspects and they've been using sex as a sort of parlor game magic trick where you're supposed to guess which cup the ball is supposed to be under. Winky face, laughing emoji. What a wonderful analogy, except it's like totally, totally wrong, wrong, wrong. So let me explain why it's so wrong, right? So, okay, I mean, there's so much. So, This doesn't make any sense, right? Because if I decided that I was going to open up a practice with another psychologist, and they immediately decided that they weren't interested in the practice, I would immediately start litigating, right? I mean, that would just be that. And there's no judge in the world that would say that because they immediately stopped being interested in it at all, that I should in any way owe them anything remotely. That wouldn't happen. So just like there are not these nefarious women out there in the world that immediately after the wedding day say, ha-ha, I have you for the next 50 years and I will never have sex with you again. That doesn't happen. Maybe like, I don't know, like 0.001% of cases somebody's a sociopath, but in the case that they actually do say that, then why don't you go end the marriage? You don't have any children. You don't have any property together, probably. You could even annul the marriage at that point, probably. So what this does is it gets rid of the entire complexity of the situation, and it makes the man in a sexless marriage into the pure victim. Nobody's a pure victim. Nobody's a pure perpetrator. If you think about life as perpetrators and victims, you were raised to do so, and you should go to all of my podcasts that talk about being raised in a dysfunctional home. Now, here's a much better analogy. I decide to open a counseling practice with another psychologist. At first, for the first few years, they're really into it. Then they decide that they want to do something else instead, maybe like testing or coaching. So they're going to focus on that part of the practice that I am really proud of. I think, all right, man, I like to do therapy. And here, this person likes to do evaluations. So they're going to do some evaluations. I'm going to do therapy. But you know what? I wish they still like to do therapy, but they still do it sometimes. They have a few therapy clients. But mostly they like to do testing. I'm really proud of the testing practice. I post about it on social media. And I think that, overall, this turned into something that was another success in many ways. Does anybody know what my analogy is? Of course you do. It's the family. The family, the home, the building of a life together. I mean, when people try to, I am the first one to say that a marital contract includes sex. I literally have a podcast that says that. But that is not all that a marriage is. Come on. What? Like, there are not women who are like, haha, I got you. Now all I'm going to do is lay around in bed and eat chocolate and not do anything. We don't have any children. If we do, then I don't interact with them. I don't work. I don't do anything around the house, and I won't have sex with you either. And if a man stayed in that situation, who's to blame? Who's to blame? Because he could easily get a divorce, right? Within the first couple of weeks, months, years. Remember that if you do actually want a life that is outside of only having sex constantly, then that counts. That's part of the practice that the psychologist and I would be co-owning. And I could also get out of this practice, right? And if I decided for 10 years that I was trying to make it happen with a testing psychologist, and that after a while we were just too dissimilar, and I was no longer happy, and I wanted to work with somebody who only wanted to do therapy, then yes, we could split up the practice. The practice would also, by the way, include all the testing that mofo had done, which would be a lot of stuff, which is equivalent to everything that most women do with the kids and the home and their own job. Because 75%, over 75% of women between, I think I looked up like 34 and 45 or 30, 34 and 54, whatever I looked up, work, by the way, they work. So most women work, and most women in my practice that I see as clients work. And of course, I work constantly, And so there's all this other shit that the woman was doing. And in fact, getting those testing clients in, probably some of them came over for therapy too. So just like if the woman's taking care of the kids, that makes it easier on the man to be a good father because she says, oh, show up for Little League at this time, and he does. So, and that's not to say many men are not involved fathers, and that's not meant to say that some men don't do more than women. But I have not seen, except in the cases with profound mental illness, which is not the case that most people are talking about, I've not seen a woman do nothing and bring no value and also have no sex. Life isn't like that. And if you see things as constant victims and perpetrators, then that's just ridiculous. That isn't real people. So in reality, what happens, and let's go away from the analogies and all the mansplaining and everything, and let's look at what it usually really looks like, which is a lot more uncomfortable. Two people get together. The man wishes that he was having more sex, but he doesn't have a lot of self-esteem. He's having a reasonable sex life with the woman. Doesn't look like anything out of porn, but he's not an idiot. He knows that it doesn't usually anyway. And it's all right. You know, it's once, maybe twice a week. He initiates it most of the time. She doesn't have any real fantasies or, you know, she finds a lot of things disgusting, but she's a sweet person. He wants to have a family. He wants to build a life together. He doesn't have a lot of confidence. It's great that she likes him. She herself does not have much of a past romantically either. And you know what? Their life is going to involve children and family and a house and mutual friends. And they have a lot in common. They have similar values. And the sex life is okay, you know? And he, you know, naively thinks it may even improve with marriage, you know? And they get together and it keeps on trucking at pretty much the same frequency until she gets pregnant, at which point her already low libido, as manifested by the red flags that I shared earlier, not much of a libido even when dating, except that he didn't know, you know, his ass from his elbow. No harm, no foul, not his fault, but he was an inexperienced guy and he didn't really know what a low libido woman looked like. And so she gets pregnant, she starts to feel like shit, she's nauseous, she feels fat, and they stop really having sex. And at that point, after that, it moves into more of a sexless marriage, and she's completely out of the honeymoon stage. She finds sex to be totally disgusting. She still tries to do it sometimes. And now, remember, this is not most people at all. This is the people that end up in the sexless marriages that I'm describing, right? And he doesn't say much about it. Every so often, he makes a pointed remark. And about maybe 10 years into it, oh, by the way, he loves his children. He loves his family. She overall, he feels, is a reasonable partner. She does a lot of shit. He likes coming home and seeing her reading to the children. You know, she makes nice holidays. She's a good wife, you know, in many ways. But he just doesn't feel that closeness and intimacy. At some point, about 10 years in, 15 years in, he's got a bunch of promotions. He takes, you know, Amtrak one day and he gets a side eye, like a flirtatious look from a woman more attractive than he ever thought that he could get when he was a younger man. And that, coupled with just the rising dissatisfaction of midlife and the fact that his porn habit has, if you really want to know, gotten a bit out of control, he decides that he no longer wants to put up with this. He starts sending her Dr. Psych Mom articles, and then they end up in couples counseling, where she says, I have not changed. Sure, we did it a little more at the beginning. It was never really my thing. Then she brings up some good points that the man never, you know, really remembered as relevant, such as, remember I told you that, you know, I would never do oral? Remember I told you that I didn't think sex was very important? And he goes back, he's like, man, yeah, you know, I mean, I just thought that's how you were raised. You're a religious girl. Things would change. Sometimes she doesn't come out and say, I don't think sex is very important, but she just kind of, by virtue of that she never initiates it, she assumes that it's understood. You know, that she's just doing it for him, really. And of course, she did think he was cute. And she was a young, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed mammal. And so she had more of a sex drive when she was young, as everybody does, even low-libido people. And at that point, if they're to divorce, do I think she should get half of everything? Of fucking course I do. You know, and I say that as a primary breadwinner. Of course, because she was trying. She was trying to make the marriage work too. And usually when those people get into therapy, she does try to start to have sex with him a little bit more. She is doing it like every other week. She is trying to understand that men view sex as very important, which is as nuts to her as if I started talking about voodoo witchcraft. You know, she just, it's nuts that like men could actually find that to be a reason to separate over. They've never talked openly about anything like that. She's never had an open discussion about sex in her life, including with her husband. So of course, I think that other psychologist who's real good at testing should get half the practice. Of course I do. And that's probably how that would be decided in any sort of court. So anyway, my point is, when people talk on the internet, there's all these, you know, echo chambers and rabbit holes you could go down. And I even talk about this. If you're a preoccupied attachment guy on the internet, here's what to look out for. And it's basically echo chambers and rabbit holes and red pill shit. And guys who say that men are pure victims of nefarious and, you know, very malicious women that just cut them off, you know, and of course I have my whole honeymoon stage bait and switch podcast. That's not true. You know, that's true as often as you find like a man in counseling who actually is maintaining an entire second family or something. You know, there are people that lie and are crazy, and men cheat at higher rates than women too. And I don't say that that makes men all liars either. They just have higher testosterone. This is what they do. It's not good. But, you know, 80% of men don't cheat and 87% of women don't. You know, so most people are not going through things maliciously. They're not bait and switching. Yes, there are crazy people in the world. Yes, there are stories where, you know, men keep women in the basement captured. I mean, like, there's like crazy shit that happens in the world. But most human beings are like the little story that I gave you. Everybody was trying. Nobody had high self-esteem. Nobody understood themselves sexually. Nobody knew that they would change over time. Nobody knew what signs were of incompatibility in bed. Over time, the guy gets more confidence. He feels more attractive. He's making some more money. And his perspective on it shifts. What do I think they should do? God, it depends. I mean, the things are so complex. Do they want to stay together while the kids are young? Does she want to work on their relationship in the sexual realm? You know what? I bet he wasn't Mr. Perfect either, you know? He probably has to work on things himself because no human being is perfect and nobody is a pure victim and things are not black and white. Just as they wouldn't be in my counseling practice, right? You know, just as I would not sign a contract with somebody and they would say, ha ha, I am never going to work again. And then somehow it would be a fable and I would know, I would never be able to get this back. I would have, it would be something out of like, you know, a very, very dramatic fairy tale where then my practice just went poof and I never had it again. Things aren't like that. If you don't have sex after the first few weeks or months in your marriage, plenty of people separate. They're like, oh, this shit isn't working. What just happened? You know? What happened? You know, I'm going to separate. If you have any confidence or you were raised in any sort of functional relationship, family at all, you would separate immediately. You would say, what happened? But you don't. Right? Because that doesn't happen. Because things go down over time. Because women aren't trying to trap men. You know? And while you got to distrust anybody that plays a complete victim. There are no complete victims in the world. Children, abused children are, right? But as you get into an adult relationship between two human beings that spans decades, the majority of what I see, right? There's so much water under the bridge. Nobody's acted their best. People are trying, but they're not always succeeding to be good people and to be good partners on either end. So, you know, if you see anything on the internet as a man or as a woman, there's plenty of stuff that says women are pure victims and men are pieces of shit too. And I decry that just as avidly. I just have my podcast on why working men are treated like stay-at-home moms used to be, with like contempt. You know, nobody should be treated with contempt. People are not trying to victimize each other except in the cases of extreme mental illness, which are very unusual. You know, even an extreme mental illness, most people aren't trying to get another person. They're just struggling on their own, right? And so that's what happens in sexless marriages. And if you are in one, perhaps this will help you to understand nobody's out to get you. Nobody's out to hurt you. This is something that happens when two people had no idea what marriage or sex would really be like because they never saw it modeled at home in any sort of functional way. And if you get into counseling, you can understand each other and empathize with each other a lot more, especially if you're somebody who struggles with black and white thinking. All right. Hope you guys enjoy this and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.